splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. That isn't love. The ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky. And the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love, even in death he remembered the thief hanging by his side. He spoke
have prayer. We have a couple of special requests. The McCluskey family lost their dad. Mark's dad passed away. Also, the Gebbers family is suffering grief this week. They lost their 19-year-old son through suicide. And if you can touch in with them in any way, and especially in prayer, it's a great need this right now. Thank you.
Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Just ask if any of you, are there any prayer requests that we need to, other things to remember for prayer today? Go ahead. Okay.
And it is cancer.
All right.
So they will be starting the chemo and radiation, I think sometimes coming week. So they can keep her and her family.
It's one of your students?
She was not one of our students. Her uncle was one of our students.
Okay.
Her name is Joe.
Okay. Anyone else? Who's the name again? Raleigh? Okay. Is there anyone else? for those who can, if you can kneel for our prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this beautiful Sabbath morning, and we thank you for the wonderful temperatures that we have outside today, and we thank you for this opportunity to come worship with you unencumbered, and the freedom of worship is still alive. And we pray for our pastor today. Give him the words to speak and help us to gain a blessing. And we pray for these requests that have been mentioned today, for the Gebers family have lost their son, and for the McCluskey family that lost his dad. Please comfort each one of them. We also pray for Raleigh Harden for his surgery. Guide the doctors that will be taking care of him, and we ask for healing for him according to your will. And for this girl, Jody, we ask for healing for her also, for according to your will. You are the great physician. And help us all to gain a blessing today from the services, and give each one a safe journey to their homes. We thank you for hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'll be reading the scripture this morning from 2 Timothy, verses 16 and 17, and this is the new NIV version. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I hope you're blessed by these words today.
One, two. That's better? All right. Amen. Happy Sabbath, everyone. How's everyone doing today? Amen. Doing great? God is good, right? All the time?
Amen.
All the time, God is good. All right. I'm trying to see here. Okay, there we go. Is the thing coming up? All right, today's topic is to be resiliently extraordinary. Before I even start this, I had such a blessing this week as I was meeting with some of our members, and really just having a lot of fun. Yes, my job is fun. It's a little bit of everything, really. You know, I also visited some families. We have some lost, you know, some that have lost some loved ones, and so it's a bit challenging, but there's always an upside to everything. One of the wonderful things I got a chance to meet, I was looking for a barber, and I'm like, you know, I went into town, I'm looking, and I saw this guy. He looked like he wanted to cut hair. So I said, hey, can you cut my hair? So we met up, and I had the privilege to get to know him a little bit. The funny thing was that we started off our conversation. He was like, he didn't know I was a pastor. You know, I normally don't say, oh, hi, I'm Pastor Omar. I just say, I'm Omar. And oh, thank you for that. I'm sorry. That was that one. And I was like, well, cool. I'm Omar. I'm new to the town. You know, what's good in here? You know, I was just trying to get a feel for what he had to say about the town and what he does, et cetera, et cetera. So the funny thing is that eventually he asked me, so what do you do? And I was like, I'm a pastor. He's like, no way. He's like, you're a pastor. I was like, yeah. He was like, man, you look like you're my age. And I said, thank you so much, because he was like 27, and I'm like 40. And I was like, thank you so much. You're my new best friend here, my favorite barber. And he was like, well, he was like, no, I just, you know, I thought you would be, you know, pastors usually older, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes out to say, man, you're pretty cool. He goes, but I'm not going to your church. He just like said to the letter, I'm not going to your church. And I'm like, that's okay, man. Can I bring church to you? And he's like, oh, that's cool. If you want to come here, you know, whatever. I was like, all right, cool. So I'm going to take you up on that. So we got it all today, Sabbath. We're going to go over there. No, I'm just joking. No, but the funny thing is, as we were conversating, he finally got to the point where he was, he said this. I didn't even ask him. I said, well, yeah, you know, churches, you know, I told him a little bit about how churches like Noah's Ark, because he's been hurt by the church before. And so I told him how we're, you know, it's Noah's Ark, and I gave him that analogy. If you don't know that analogy, one day I'll give it to you. And so he was like, wow, I never thought about that, because it was like the only story that he knew in the Bible. And I was like, that's pretty cool, right? He's like, yeah. So after our conversation, he was like, you know what? I think I can visit your church. I think I can visit your church. And I was like, cool. So I left it alone. I didn't say anything else. And then he was like, are you hungry? He's like, I was like, yeah. So he was like, let's go eat. I was like, yeah, let's go eat. So we go to have a little bit of dinner. I mean, lunch. It was like a dinner, the size of the food we ate. But we're eating and everything. And I'm not really like 100% sold on Mexican food. I know that it's really bad. But, you know, being here. But only because they keep tricking me. They keep saying it's not hot, and it burns my mouth. If they stop saying it's hot, that it's not hot, you know, I probably would enjoy it better. But he told me it was good, so I trusted him, and it wasn't hot, and I was able to have a good meal. And so, you know, we're conversating, and at the end, he was like, so at what time does your service start? So we went from not going to church at all to maybe I'll come visit your church to what time your church start. And I'm like, Lord, this is a divine appointment. Amen, hallelujah. You know? And then it went from there to, what's your number so I can call you and we can meet up. So I thought it was just an amazing thing how God just works, you know, and just set up these divine appointments with people. And there are people out there hungry for the word, right? We just have to come to them and come with a humbling heart and just know that anytime, you know, we have to take the initiative, and anytime, you know, someone is just ready to receive, right? It's ready to receive. So with that being said, I wanted to introduce this topic to you. Last week we had remember, right? The word remember. And so each day I'm kind of like attaching another theme to this one. And this one is called Time to Be Resilient. And she's so precious. And so she's like having her own sermon there. And so a time to be resiliently extraordinary. I think that in the times that we're living in, they are times to actually be resiliently extraordinary, because many of us are going through a lot of things. We're having a lot of difficulty, and it seems as though you get out of one mess to get into what? Another mess. And it's just like, Lord, where do we catch our break? How do I get better? How do I continue to be a Christian when so many things are going on in which sometimes I don't have any control of, you know? And it just seems like one thing after another. Where is this God? Where are you, God? You know? And so we struggle with that sometimes. I know that I have plenty of times struggled, even as a pastor, to know how am I going to get through the next phase, knowing that I just got out of one, a barely alive, you know? And so I want to let you know that this is kind of a marathon, right? We're not in a sprint. It's kind of like of a marathon, but this is the end of the marathon. Amen? This is the end of the marathon. So guess what most runners do towards the end of the marathon? You think they just start just walking and just taking it easy? No, right? Because what's going to happen if they continue to take it easy? the other runners are going to come and win the marathon, right? Have you ever seen that in those videos where the guy is just celebrating right before he gets to the, and then there's this other guy just running and just passes him by, and he's like, whoa, and then he falls, and I mean, that can be us, right? That could be, she laughs because she, one of those videos came to your mind, right? And so that could be us. That can happen to us. We may think that we're there about to run the race, and guess what? We're giving up too easy, right? We're right there. Finish line. And a lot of times we just give up even before the finish line. Whether it's because we think we got it or we think that we're never going to reach the finish line. And so I want to provide this thought for you today so that you can take it for the rest of the week. You've got, for those that remember English class, the who, what, when, where, how, and all that stuff, it's kind of like what we're going to go through today, okay? So the who are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about you and I, right? The human race. We're talking about God's creation. The way that he made us is to actually be resiliently extraordinary. But who are we all fall into that category? It's called on Omar. Okay, there we go. So did God create junk? I want to start with this. Did God create junk? Hello, 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, or do you not know that the body is what is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? Right? Whom you have what? From God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price, my friends. You are worth, you're valuable. We're all valuable to God. We're bought with a price. So God did not create junk. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so look at what it says in it. So glorify God in your body. Amen. So what does that mean? What does it mean to be resilient? How can we glorify God in our bodies? Well, being resilient, I always compare it to ants. I don't know if I already gave this analogy before, but it's just amazing. I'm just fascinated by ants because, you know, over and over again, they don't give up. Those little things don't give up. They have these incredible minds. The way that they work, no wonder the Bible and David and so many others mention about these ants and the way that they're just persevering. So what does resilient mean? And why did I choose ants? Because I remember one time, you know, I call them kingdoms I have this lady that she comes and cuts the grass and I feel bad for these ants because their kingdoms are being demolished. And, you know, it looks like there's no way that they can survive that. Or maybe the rainstorm came and it just flooded the whole ground. And then the next day, by the time I come back outside and it's nice and sunny, guess what? Not only do I see their kingdom, but I see many more. It's like they quadrupled. And so being resilient has to do a lot with this. Being resilient has to do a lot with this. Let me see if I can. Being resilient means capable of withstanding shock with permanent what?
Without
permanent deformation or rupture, tending to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. Guys, we were created to be able to withstand. We were created the way that God made us. He made us so resilient that no matter what happens in our lives, right, we're able to rebound. I like here where it says the withstanding shock, but we're able to also rebound, right, without losing all our nuts and bolts, okay? We might lose a couple. Pastor lost a couple along the way. But we don't lose all of them, right? We're able to continue, and it does a beautiful thing because we can adjust. God created us to adjust, which is extraordinary because a lot of times when we think of sin and how it entered into the world, I mean, it could have been, that's it. It's over for us, right? There's no way out. It's just, that's it. We're done. We're death is prevailing. We'll get into that in a minute. But the fact that we're able to adjust, we adjusted to it. It says that God created us very, very intelligently. That God took his time and made sure that we were beings that are able to adjust. So that's resilient. What does extraordinary mean? What does extraordinary mean? I look at the mountains here and I picture people just climbing the mountains without a rope, you know? I have the back of our house where at Lola's, she has this beautiful, you know, hill. I'm pretty sure it's pretty high up there, and I look at him like, man, and everybody's been scaring me, even though they don't know it. They're like, yeah, you know, the rocks, you know, might slip, and then there's rattlesnakes, and there's a whole bunch of things up there. There's bears and all this other stuff. I'm like, okay, I don't know if I really want to go up there now. I don't see myself, getting bit by a snake or anything. But I want to, right? I want to go and climb. I want to be extraordinary, right? And so what is extraordinary, my friends? You and I are created extraordinary, meaning extra. There is extra in us. There's no way, when we go through our hardships, guess what? There's extra. There's times that you get through that situation. That's because you're created extraordinary. You're not just any ordinary person. In the hands of God, you are extraordinary, my friend. And so, what does extraordinary mean? Very unusual or remarkable. It's funny because at Seventh-day Adventists, I think that we get labeled that word a lot, unusual, right? We don't go to church on Saturday. We're some unusual people. We eat different. We're unusual people. We're not the usual. And that's fine. That means that we're extraordinary. Amen? We're remarkable. And so, my friends, that's how God created us. That's how he created you and I to be extraordinary, remarkable. I think my battery's going to waste here. All right. Let's go to the next one. God's gift. So, God's gifted us with some incredible minds. Okay. You've seen it. You guys seen it on Facebook and on TikTok and all these things. You've seen people do some incredible things, whether it's memorizing something, the list goes on. I've seen some men. I remember I was watching this one guy, from India that he was able to take in electricity. I don't know if you guys seen it, believe it or not, and he wraps around all these wires, and the volts are just going through him, and he's able to cook some eggs on a plate or something like that. I mean, God gives us incredible minds. The mind is an incredible thing, right? How many people have you seen where they overcome obstacles that seem impossible, whether it's cancer or having one leg and running a Ironman? You know, like, I can't even run Ironman. I was playing basketball the other day here at the gym, and I almost died, you know? And I have two legs, my friends, okay? I have two legs. And so, God created us incredibly amazing. He gave us these incredible minds. I was watching this guy at my height dunking the ball, and I'm like, how did he do that? How does he do that? And so, and then one of the things that he said in his video, he goes, it's a mind thing. That's what he said. I believe I can do it, and I did it through exercise and practice. You know, but I did it every single day, and I got closer and closer. And so God created us with these incredible minds. Look what it says in Philippians 4:13. You guys know what it says, right? It says, I can do some things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so this is something that we have the ability to do because God has gifted us with this in unimaginable mind. Like we kind of pretty much a lot of times don't look ourselves that way. And we like, oh, I'm so dumb. Well, I don't know this. And we just put ourselves down, guys. But the reality is that God doesn't put ourselves down. He thinks extraordinary of us because he made us, he created us, he knows what we got, he knows what we have, he knows how we work, you know, and we're all different, which is the most amazing thing. And so we all bring something different to the table. We all remarkable and resiliently extraordinary, all of us together in different ways. Amen?
Amen.
And that's the most amazing thing. So God did not create junk. I don't want anybody to think that way. Okay? We all have a purpose. Now, what? Why has that changed? Because there's something called what? Sin, guys. There is something that's called sin. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. It's not life. It's death, my friends. So what does this mean to us in a fallen world? You know, if God created us so extraordinary and so resilient, what does this mean in this fallen world to you and I as Christians, as Seventh-day Adventist people? And so I really believe that sin has affected us in a way where mentally it challenges us, right? Mentally it challenges the decline of our brains, right? You know, we have seasons. And so when we're young, we soak up everything. It's amazing. I have a little nephew. And this kid already at two, he is like, his mind, he's talking all these words, he's speaking all these words, and he's understanding, and the way that he understands, it's just, I remember I was two, and I probably was just bumping my head against like a pew or something, you know, like falling on my face. I'm still learning how to walk. And here is this little child, and he's like telling mama, you know, that what he wants is the cookie and that's it. And that's what he wants. And finding ways of how to get it, you know, and so, I remember the other day she showed me a video and she said, what does this say here? And he goes, da, da, ding, dong, and he's like, nah, and he starts explaining the book. He's reading in his mind, right? And so kids are totally different, but then you come to, as an adult, and you realize that life is not the way, you know, it's panned out to be. There's difficulty, there's roughness, and all the stuff that happens, and so there's different seasons. And as we get older, they say supposedly that as we get older, our mind deteriorates. But it depends. It depends. I remember being in theology, my theology class, and I had a 70 and a 60-year-old couple that they were studying theology at school. And they graduated with one of the highest grades. One of the highest grades. Mind you, he was half blind. He was like, he barely could see. He had to always read the book like this. And amazed me. They graduated. And he's serving as a pastor today. Matthew Baker, look him up. Incredible guy. And his wife too. His wife, she did a lot of, if you guys seen Amazing Facts, she did a lot of the costumes that they use for their last revelation thing there. And so she did a lot of the costumes that you see there. And it's just amazing. The gifts. It doesn't matter how old you are, guys. God is willing to do something. But the honest truth, overall, in the world, we know that your mind starts to decline because of sin. It's just in general. Okay? And then we have also what happens with our bodies, right? What is the physical? Our body starts to decay. I look at myself every day in the mirror. I'm like, oh my goodness, another wrinkle, you know? Or, you know, I'm getting so much white hair now. It's just like depressing because everybody calls you sir. And I'm like, why did he call me sir? I remember they used to call me young man, you know? And now they call me sir. I don't know what they call you after sir, but I can only imagine. And so our physical, I'm not able to do what I was able to do, you know, when I was 20 on the basketball court. You know, I was talking to, I think it was Doug, you know, I'm here trying to pass the ball, and I thought I was going to pass it to the side, to the front side of me, and it went to the back. It was like, it just didn't happen. The pass didn't go, and the guy's looking at me like, where are you, who are you passing it to? I was like, yeah, the Holy Spirit's behind me, you know, or something, you know. Like, it's just bad, and so I'm not able to do what I used to be able to do. My son now can, when we wrestle, he's learning how that he's getting a little bit stronger than me. And before I used to just lay on top of him and be like, move me. And now he's like, yeah, sure, Dad, I can bench press you, you know? And so it's not the same, guys. And it takes a toll on us, right? Because we realize these things. We realize these things and we think that we're useless. And that's what Satan wants to make you think, that you're useless. But let me tell you something. God has a plan for you. Amen?
Amen.
And so it doesn't matter what age you are. And the next one is our spiritual life. You know, sometimes this is in the world aspect, the spiritual life also, at one point, spiritually, you also feel like because you're mentally not capable or because you're in a decline, because physically you're in a decline, then your spirit also goes down in flames. Right, you just like, that's it. You know, I have no purpose. I just want to end my life, or I don't want to live anymore. I just want to be alone, or whatever it is. And so you go your whole life. A lot of times, this doesn't even have to wait when you get old. It can happen at any point in your life, where you feel that you're just a lost person. And I don't know if you felt that way. I don't know, you had that thought in which, man, I try to do so much, and look now. And so this is where this verse comes into play. You guys probably have seen it before, Matthew 16:26, where it says, for what will profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? And so we have to be wise. We have to understand that, listen, even though, you know, I know a lot of people, they, especially myself, I remember when I hit 35 and I was getting close to 40, I was so worried about, like, man, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I didn't accomplish this, and I'm too old to do it here or then, and so on and so on. And I was putting all these things of accomplishments in my life ahead of me, and I'm saying, I'm a nobody. And the worst thing that we want to feel is like we're a nobody. And that's what Satan wants to plant in our minds, that we are nobodies because we didn't reach the what the society tells us that where we need to be at whatever time in our lives. And so this is where this verse comes into play, because when we think that way, then we will lose our soul. We tend to lose our everything. And so we forget so easily. Remember? We forget so easily. And so I want to take you to, okay, technology today is not working with me. All right. I want to take you to when. So, well, when does that change? When does it become, when can we be free from the bondage of our enemy? Do we have to wait until God, Jesus comes and say, Bloom, you're going to be changed? Do we have to wait until that? Or is that process something that we start today? Well, I want to tell you that in Luke 10:19, look what it says here. It says, I have given you authority. Guys, he's given us authority to trample on what? On snakes and scorpions and overcome all the power of whom? The enemy. The enemy. Nothing will harm you. Now, this is a promise that God has given us. This is a promise that God has given us. And so he has given us the power and the authority. When you have the power and authority of God, I don't know if you guys remember, I forgot who I was talking to about this, but, oh, I know who I was talking to about this. But if you guys remember Moses, right? When God was giving him an instruction to go and speak to the rock and make water, you know, have water come out from the rock. You guys kind of remember that story? You know, Moses wasn't realizing really the power that he was given, that God was giving him, the authority that he was given. This was the first time in the Bible where you will see, and probably the last time until Jesus comes, but you will see a human being able to create something out of nothing. Like, basically make something happen that there's nothing there, and then all of a sudden it just appears. Because rock doesn't produce water. You know what I mean? And so, God was willing to share that power and give it to Moses so that they can see the power of God, of course. And unfortunately, Moses allowed his emotions, allowed his own, you know, and I don't want to say that he was being selfish, but in a way he was, right? He was being selfish, his own selfishness, his own ego, to trip him up, to get in his way. And what? And smite, and he smote or smite, hit the rock, right? Instead. And a lot of times we miss out on the blessings and the power that and authority that God wants to give us to overcome sin, to overcome temptation, to overcome problems, to overcome difficulties, because we simply give in too quick to our emotions and to what the society says and to what other people say I am and I am not. And we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful of that, because I really believe that God is willing to give us the power. He's willing to give us the power if we really, really depend on him 100% and surrender everything to him. And so it starts with this, the mind. It starts with the mind. Ephesians 1:18-19 says, the eyes of what? Maybe you don't see it there very well. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. And we'll get to that in a second. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Why is this so important? Because it says the eyes, a lot of times we go by what we see, right? We have problems with, for example, we make a decision based off of, my mom says I'm this type of person. She goes, honey, I knew that your brother's a lot like me. You know, we don't need to see, we just go in and do it. You know, she's talking about the army. And I didn't join the army, not because I didn't want to, but so another story. But basically, she said that I wouldn't join the army because I saw that it was hard and I didn't want to be screamed at and all this other stuff, and I couldn't go through the whole routine, right? The whole thing. Or she was also comparing me to my brother who jumps off planes. And she goes, you're the one that will need to see somebody else do it, and then you will do it too. And I said, yeah, if it comes to jumping off a plane, yeah. You know, like, I want to make sure that the parachute opens and maybe our parachutes are good or something like that. Like, you show me the parachute's going to open and I'll jump, you know. And I think a lot of us are like that in some ways, right? We have to see first. Let me see if that, okay, he's good. All right, let me go, you know. My son the other day, when we were in Hawaii, there was a cave that we all wanted to go into. And I love caves. I love caving. I don't know if there's caves out here, but if there's a cave, I'm going to go into the cave. So the cave was very dark, and he's afraid of the dark. I'm talking about him because he's not here today, so. He's afraid of the dark, and I'm like, come on, dude, let's go, let's go. He's like, nah, Dad, I'm good, I'm good. So it wasn't until we actually got into the cave that he saw that there was no, like, bear or something ready to devour us or something that he saw in the movie, some zombie or something, that then he was like, you guys are in there? And I'm like, yeah, come on, come into the cave. And then finally he came into the cave because he had to see. Well, sight is very important for us, believe it or not. God gave us the vision, right, to see. And so it's important to understand what we're seeing. What we're seeing is very important. It says here in Matthew 6, look what it says here. The eye is what? Is the lamp of the body. Look at this. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body is what? Will be full of what? Full of light. But if your eyes are what? Unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Wow. My friends, the eyes, everything that we see is so important that we don't waste our time in seeing things that in reality don't do any benefit to us. You know, why? Because right now, as we're looking at what we're watching on TV and Facebook, TikTok, and all these other social media outlets, it could really take away from the blessing of us having the light that will make us better. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but if it says here that the light is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light, and light equals healthiness, and it starts in the mind. And if I'm watching stuff that I'm not supposed to be watching, then what is happening? What is happening? Every single day, that light is shining less and less. And so when someone says, you can't do that, there's no way, there's no possibility, you'll be like, yeah, you're right, man, never mind. And you won't do it. It's like, I can imagine for those two friends of mine, Matthew Baker, how, you know, he was in his 70s going back to school. You know how many people probably told him, why are you even doing that? You're wasting your time, you know? And probably students walking by and saying, look at him, he's blind. He's wasting his time. He'll never get picked up by a conference because he's too old, you know? I mean, just think about all the things that those comments that he might have heard here and there. And if he wasn't focused on the lamp, on the light that's given to him through the word, my friends, the crazy part here too is the last part where it says, how great is that darkness if they think that they have this light? That part is also scary too, because a lot of times we may think that we're watching this is not that bad. Have you ever done that? Oh, you know, this show is not that bad. It's just making me laugh. I know what's good and bad. And we keep watching or we keep doing, and guess what happens? We go from that show, and instead of going into something else, like the Bible, we go to what? To watch a worse show. We go, and we get worse and worse. And we think we're okay. It's not that bad. And then next thing you know, what we're watching is horrendous. Does that make sense? You see how the darkness works and how it tricks us to believe that what we're watching is okay. And it just keeps allowing us to surrender and surrender to darkness. And so we need to be careful because our mind is a powerful thing. Let me take you to the next one. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to ramble so much on that one, but I thought it was very important. It's important what our eyes see. There's a song about that, right? Casting Crowns sings a song about that. Matthew 4:4. Now, this is the physical part. It says here, Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered, and who answered? Jesus answered, right? Who was he answering to? It is written, he's answering to Satan, right? It is written that man shall not what? Live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. So even if physically we feel that we can't no more, like Jesus did, he was hungry. let me tell you something. I was there in Israel, and they showed us kind of like the area that he was. There was some big hills there, and there was nothing. It was just a desert. Dry heat. I mean, actually, it wasn't dry. It was a very humid heat. And I mean, basically, I would have been there for another, like, hour, and I probably would have died, you know, because I was just sweating so much. I didn't have water on me. Can you imagine 40 days and 40 nights in the middle of a desert, and then you have this guy named Satan, just somebody just tormenting you the whole time? And saying, hey, you can do that. You could make these breads into stone, these stones into bread. And so he answered to him and says, listen, my body may be weak, but my mind is not, because I'm connected to the source by the word of God, right?
Amen.
Amen. Spiritually, basically, the way that we overcome all these temptations, all these difficulties, the way that we're able to really have this connection with God, where we're able to be extraordinary, resiliently extraordinary, be able to bounce back, be able to be extraordinary, extra. The only way that we could do that is overcoming. Overcoming is a very, we in America, we love overcoming. I think so. I think America, it's in our American culture. It's the way that we are, right? When USA is down in a couple points in a game in the Olympics, and we overcome, it's like, yeah, we're Americans, right? It's like every happy story in America when the Russians are up, and, you know, I'm talking about hockey for those that remember the hockey movie, and so on, or in basketball, whatever it is, right? And we win, we're like, yeah, we're America. Well, guess what? We're Christians, right? We're all Christians, and we're on this battlefield. And the most wonderful thing is to see overcoming. When someone is able to overcome, you know, their bad habits, or you know, their drunkenness, or their whatever it is, whatever they have, overcoming is a spiritual connection to the Father. It's not, there's not some, it's not, it doesn't come within, like the world says, oh, obey your thirst or whatever. You know, in part, we have to submit to God, right? But it comes from the Father. It comes from God. Everything then is in set order for us to win. Once we're connected to the source, we are set to win. And so that is the power that has been given to us. So where do we get that power? Guys, I think we just read it, right? 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God, and is profitable. We're going to kind of define that a little bit. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction, and righteousness. That the man of God may be what?
Perfect.
Guys, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and all into all good works. And we're going to kind of get into that, because that's very important for us to know, especially in the times that we're living in. And so, why, Pastor? Okay, come on. There we go. Why? Why is this important? Why is it important to you and me? Why is it important for us to know? Well, so that in the trying times that we're going to face, because if you think things are difficult now, wait until things start really hitting the roof. For in times of trying times, what we face, we can be resiliently extraordinary. Resiliently extraordinary, so that we can persevere, so that we can be a testimony. Here are the patience of the saints, those that keepeth the commandments, and what? And the testimony, have the faith, the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So this is what I want to teach you, how to have that testimony of Jesus Christ. How, Pastor? How can we have this? Well, number one, it comes with the Word of God. The Word of God says when we break down of God's power, we break down God's power through His Word. Every facet of God, you know, God has this immense power, but it is through His Word that we learn about this power. So what does the Bible say? Read me! Read me! It's screaming out to us. Get the dust out. Read me, guys. Read me. I know that sounds hard, but we have to do it. In order to have this power, we need to know how to get that power. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us this. Phase one. Phase one is profitable and resilient. Profitable in here means resilient. When you look at the Word of God and it's profitable to you, it means that it's going to allow you to have some type of growth. Okay, profitable meaning growth. And so the more we grow in God's Word, the more that we grow in His ways, the more resilient we become. Does that make sense? The more we grow, the more resilient. So you're wondering, like, oh God, why is this happening to me again? Or why am I in this mess? Why am I in this other mess? I just got out of another mess. And we sometimes get a little bit upset with God. And we ask him this question. Well, let me tell you, every single time that we ask God a question, we better be ready for an answer. Because he will answer and he will show us. But the growth is what's important here. We have to grow. Profiting means we grow in his word. Amen? And so the second part is for doctrine. So this information that we're getting now we're being indoctrinated. Right? We're getting this information. And you know what that information is? It is his secrets to his character. When I feel that I'm weak, when I feel that I can't know more, he shows me a secret of his character that I need to give me the strength to persevere, to give me the strength to continue moving forward. And so it is the secrets of his character, the information that I need to be the Omar that he wants me to be and to become. Not the Omar that I think I should be where, you know, I think I should be, you know, bigger than Bill Gates. You know what I mean? Like that would be the Omar that I want to be, right? But no, it's to be the Omar that he wants me to be. And so that is why it's so important that we read about his character. Where? In scripture. The next one is phase two, and we're almost done. Phase two is this. For reproof. And we don't like that word too much. Because the truth, what happens with the truth? The truth is what convicts us. Let me tell you something. We do not like people to tell us that we're wrong. We don't. We will make a million excuses. Well, you know, yeah, but you know, this is what happened to me and da, 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 da. And it could be true. But the reality is that we're not convicted of the truth. You know, has anybody ever been told that they have like a booger in their nose? Right? Okay, thank you, right? And at first, it catches you by surprise, right? You're like, and you want to say thank you, but it's like, man, do I really? Like, it makes you uncomfortable, right? Because all these other people didn't say nothing to you, and that means that they may not love you as much. It's the truth, right? They're like, man, I can't believe that I was with so-and-so for like half an hour, and he couldn't say, hey, man, do this, or whatever. You got a boogie in the dungeon, or whatever they call it, you know? And so, it hurts. It hurts, right? Reproof is the same way. It does hurt, guys. But it's for your own good, right? We hear that a lot from our moms. Our parents used to tell us, baby, I do this because it's for your own good, right? It's for our own good. But this is what I love about God. We serve a very patient God. Because the second part is for correction. And what correction means is that we have the ability to make adjustments, guys. He allows us to make adjustments. You know, where I'm weak, I got to get strong in. Well, he allows time to happen. I mean, when we read the whole Bible, that's all his patience. He's showing patience. Yes, there comes a point where judgment comes, but there is so much patience. I think Ellen White said that Jesus should have been come at her time, right? Sorry for my English, but basically, like, it's like, he should have been here already. Well, guess who else said that? The disciples said that. They preached like Jesus was coming in their time. And here we are, how many years later, still waiting on the return of Christ. Is God patient or is he not patient? He is so patient with us. So what are the two steps that we need to make when we accept that reproof? What are the two steps? Number one is to first come to Christ. Oops. We need to first come to Christ. And the second one is do what he said to the young lady, the prostitute, that was brought to his feet, sin no more. Go and sin no more. Those are the first two things that we need to do. Come to Christ. Amen. Because we have someone that we can come to and liberate us from our bondage. And then number two, turn away from that sin. Repent and move forward. Amen. And then we can go to phase three. Last phase, guys. Phase three is this. For instruction in righteousness. Amen. For instruction in righteousness. What does that mean? Guys, that the minute that you decide to repent and to move forward, you have that righteous robe on you. That robe of righteousness on you, meaning that God, Jesus is in your heart. Your life starts to change. You start to see things, well, probably you don't, but other people start to see things in you that they didn't see before. Where you were impatient, now you're patient. Where you were rude and mad all the time, now you're kind and loving. And it just happens. People will be like, man, you changed. Like, seriously, like, what is it about you? And so learning to depend on the power of God, his will, and not in our world. That's what that means. We are now transitioning into a phase in a Christian. And sometimes we're like, man, we feel stuck in our Christian lives. Like we're just in the same routine. We just come to Sabbath and we just, you know, give our offering, have a sing and all that. Then we go home and nothing happens. And we're just, you know, we're just living a routine. But when we start locking in on these phases in our Christian walk, we learn to depend on an amazing God. And that amazing God starts to do resiliently extraordinary things in our lives. And that's why, my friend, that we rely on not our merits, but His merits. And when that starts happening, again, that's where we have this life in which we are living resiliently extraordinary. And we're going to need that. We're going to need that, because when things start hitting the roof, like I said, or the fan, or whatever you want to call it, when things are getting really bad, and that 401k is gone, and then the mortgage on my house is up and I have to move out, and just where am I going to get my next meal? When things start getting really bad, where the physical, the mental, the physical, and the spirit is all getting hit punch by punch, how are we going to react? Are we going to react resiliently extraordinary? Are we still going to smile and continue moving on in life and knowing that we have an amazing God? So that is the question that I want to ask you today. Are we willing to be resiliently extraordinary? I hope that today you've decided to surrender yourself to God, to be able to make the changes, not because, you know, you want to benefit of the fish and loaves, but because you want a closer and deeper relationship with God so that He can use you to be the light to the world. Are we ready to be, Brewster Church, resiliently extraordinary? I hope you are. If you are, bow your heads with me so we can pray. Heavenly Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much again as we come to your house of worship, and we've had an amazing day with you. I mean, outside is so warm and beautiful. I thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to just come here peacefully and rejoice and fill our batteries up with song and worship and fellowship. But Father, we've come to a realization how bad we also need your word to be real in our lives and to develop this character of being resiliently extraordinary through you. Father, we pray that moving forward as a church, no matter what happens, no matter what things come thrown maybe thrown at us, that we can always bounce back. Not because there's anything good in us, but because we rely on you and your promises. Because we know that you're a living God, a God that creates change, a God that continues to have us become more like His image, more like you. Father, we need to get ready. We need to be ready. And so this is the first step that we want to take today, and that is to surrender our hearts to you and for you to start working in our hearts and for us to be resiliently extraordinary. May we remember those things that you've always done for us, but now we put them into action in surrendering. We love you and we thank you, and we can't wait to see you, and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In place of a closing song today, Brendan and Megan are going to play for us and meditate on those words, blessed assurance.
Blessed assurance.
submission, perfect delight. Visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story.
Brendan and Megan, that was beautiful, amen. So last week we had a celebration. I know heaven, there was a celebration. And so we also had a celebration down here. And that was that Arson was baptized. He had surgery, my friends, as well. And I cannot believe that he's here. But I'm glad that he's here. And so we forgot to give him a little something. And so I remembered, that was last week's sermon, I remembered, and so I would like for him to come up so I can give him his gift from our church. If he can, I don't know if you're good? Okay, good. So he was operated from his eye, and so here, I'll come down. Yeah, and so he just said he didn't see well. So I was like, what can I get you? So I got you a little something that will help you so that you can continue at least hearing the word of God. Amen? And then there's another little something, and then this is a card for you. And so everything's in there. And we just want to, again, welcome you and let you know that we are here supporting. We were praying for you. And I know that it's, you know, sometimes when we make this decision for Christ, Satan likes to attack us in different ways, okay? But I want to let you know that you can count on us and your church family here, friends, to that we're going to continue praying for you. And if there's anything that you need, please let us know. Same thing with Holly. You know, we're here for you. And so we hope that you continue in this journey of finding the truth, all right? Let us pray. Let us end with a prayer so that we can finish today. Heavenly Father in heaven, at this moment, even though we're ending service, it continues moving forward as we are now going to our homes or we're going to fellowship together elsewhere. And I just pray that you continue to be with us and that we can enjoy this Sabbath really with you and our friends and our family. In particular, I pray here for Arson as he continues in his journey. I thank you because the surgery, as I can see, went well. I pray that you continue to give him sight, both physically and spiritually, that he can always follow you, Father, and that he can listen to that voice that speaks to his heart. Father, I also pray for each and one of us. You know the difficulties and problems that we're all facing in our lives. For some of us, some are great, some are small, but each and one of us are going through something. And I just pray that we can always and find a way to come to you. As I know and understand, you're always waiting for us. And sometimes you even come straight to us, just hoping that we embrace you. So allow us, Father, to always remember that you you are always there. We love you, Father, and we just ask you all this and much more in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Can I say something?
Sure.
I would like to thank everyone that prayed for me. He gave me strength.
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen.